Good morning, friends. Welcome to Sniffy's podcast, your bi-weekly dose of positivity. I'm your host, Howard.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ting, co-hosting this podcast with Howard.
So last week, we've discussed topics such as why dog training is important and how to choose dog trainers. Today, we will continue talking about dog training with Greg.
Greg, thank you for sharing your thoughts and tips on dog training with us in the last episode. I believe you are a very knowledgeable dog trainer. Now, one thing that I'm curious, what is your training philosophy?
So I use, as I mentioned before, a lot of reward-based training. I like to think about environmental management, setting our dogs up for success. A classic example that I've run into a handful of times, somebody says that their dog gets into the garbage, or they chew up the toilet paper roll in the bathroom or something like that. And sometimes I'll talk to them a little bit. I'll say, you know, like how often does this happen? Are you at home? Things like that. We'll go through it. And then we'll talk, and they'll ask if they can set up a private training session. And a lot of times I'll say, like, well, you could get a garbage can with a lid, or you could close the bathroom door. And then just the light bulb turns on and they say, oh, I never thought of that. So just setting up your dog for success. If they bark out the window and you can close the blinds, or maybe move the couch or chair away from the window so they can't see out of it. So I like to practice a lot of environmental management, things of that nature. I follow LIMA principles, which stands for least intrusive, minimally aversive. That basically means we do everything we can to prevent harm for our dogs. We try to do basically as little as possible to get the results we like. We don't need to do a whole lot for our dogs in many cases to get the results that we like. So in addition to that, I, as I mentioned, reward-based training, clicker training or marker training, which is using the clicker, you can mark specific behaviors and get really fine-tuned behaviors from your dog, following up with a reward after each click, and learning will progress much more quickly and effectively that way.
I like the idea that you just mentioned, marking and reinforcing the good behaviors. But I sometimes found people bullying or scaring their dogs when the dogs were not behaving. And in that way, the owner is showing the dog dominance and being the boss to the dog. And they usually found it is an effective way to stop unwanted behaviors, is it?
That's a great question. So the idea of being the alpha in your household, being dominant, showing your dog who's boss, things like that, that's all very outdated information. Well, wasn't even really legitimate information from the start. It all stems from one study where a person took a bunch of wolves from the wild and put them all in a habitat together and watched them fight over food. That's basically the gist of the study, is he watched wolves fight over resources. Eventually, he found that one wolf who appeared, you know, the biggest, strongest, most dominant, would be the first to eat, and the others would wait until he was done eating and then would follow afterwards. So basically what that boils down to is the wolf that was the, you know, biggest and strongest was just the biggest bully and would sort of pick on the other wolves if they tried to eat first. So that is a legitimate behavioral interaction that the other dogs just learned, I better wait my turn if I don't want to get picked on. But it really was just very specific to that situation. From that, they believed that, oh, this must apply to all wolves. And from there, they made the jump that it applies to dogs. And from there, they made the jump that humans must be part of the dog's pack. So a lot of conclusions that don't really make sense. Wolves and dogs are different species. The wolves in captivity behave very differently from wolves in nature. Wolves in out in the real world are very good at keeping out of each other's way. They don't, unless their food is very scarce, they usually don't bother each other. A wolf pack is actually a family. So mom and dad and their kids. And that's how that dynamic works. So yeah, mom and dad know what's best because they're older and more experienced. But it's not really a dominance or an alpha wolf idea. So all that to say, a lot of illogical conclusions were drawn to the idea that humans have to be the leader of the pack with your dog. So in practice, what a lot of that looks like is, like I mentioned before, just bullying your dog. Things like an alpha role is a very old, bad training idea where you basically just hold your dog on their back. If they're being naughty, you just roll them over on their back and hold them until they stop getting into mischief. So the idea was you're showing your dog dominance. You're showing them that you're the boss. But really, it's just scaring your dog. It's a really unpleasant experience for them. And so they think, okay, I better not do this again or else I'm going to get in trouble. So that's not to say it doesn't modify behavior, because it does, but it comes with so many bad side effects. Your dog will become fearful of you. Your dog will not enjoy spending time around you. They'll be more stressed. They can develop those aggressive, fearful behavior patterns. So it certainly, the idea of being dominant for your dog is not accurate, and the methods that came from it are harmful to your dog. So certainly steer far away from anyone who uses dominance sort of training for your dog.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hope more people will know about the harm of showing dominance in dog training. Greg, I know currently you are teaching group training classes. Can you share examples from your students where you believe a group class would significantly help?
Absolutely. So a lot of students who come to group class, as I mentioned before, they're just looking for a broad scope of just any behaviors, maybe just some mental stimulation for their dogs. I offer a variety of different classes. So currently I'm teaching one focused just on recall, so just getting your dog to come when you call them, and then one that's all tricks, mental stimulation, enrichment, brain games, things like that. So those, of course, are very helpful if you have that specific behavior in mind or you're just looking to give your dog some mental exercise. Another great example is I had this one student who, similar to Chubby, like you mentioned earlier, he got very excitable in class around other dogs. It was playful and friendly, but he just got overwhelmed and had a hard time listening to his person, and it was very hard for him to focus. So I talked with his owner for a little while, and we decided to keep him in the group class, sort of based on what I was saying, how working around the distractions can be very helpful. This was sort of an extreme case. Normally, I wouldn't recommend a reactive dog staying in a standard group class because it can be very distracting for the other dogs. They might not learn very effectively. But his person was very dedicated. He was an excellent student. And very quickly, the reactivity subsided and it became just sort of distractibility. He was very easily distracted. So that can be a great time for a group class, is if your dog, you know, might perform very well at home, but they struggle with distractions. There's sort of a fine line to walk, because if it's too distracting and overwhelming, they're not going to learn effectively. But most behaviors, your dog can do very well in a calm environment. It's with distractions and other things happening that they struggle. You can, you know, practice a recall, call your dog from 5 feet away in your living room, and they'll probably come every time. But it's the real world when you've got other dogs, other people, cars driving by, where it struggles. And that's where the strength of training comes in. It's like, you know, it's like building muscle, working out at the gym or anything like that. It takes time, repetition, gradually increasing the difficulty and level of the challenge. So that's one of the biggest sort of underlying, maybe not as obvious from the start, benefits of a group class, is working with those distractions, because that is building the muscle and working the repetition that most dogs need to succeed. A behavior isn't just learned and then your dog has it. It takes practice and You might need to refresh it and revisit it from time to time. But I oftentimes recommend that students retake group classes even if their dog already knows everything on the curriculum, just because it's great practice. That's a really effective, efficient way to work on things that your dog already has a good handle on in an environment that's going to challenge them and help them bring it to the next level.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it must be a lot of fun to join your class, Greg. And I really love that you will work with your students and always suggest the best way for each dog. Now I have a question for you. And I guess lots of our audience will have the same question as well. That is every dog trainable? Because we all know there is a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. What's your opinion?
You can absolutely teach an old dog new tricks, especially with positive reinforcement and reward-based training. You can teach basically anything with a brain how to learn new behaviors or shape their behavior. Absolutely, your dog is never too old. Throughout my years working with animals, I've worked with tons of different species. You can train reptiles, fish, birds, mice, gerbils, anything really. A lot of the principles of training are shaping all of our behavior all the time. I won't get too into that now. I could talk for hours on just the science behind training. But the idea is we're constantly being influenced by our environment, by rewards, whether we know it or not. And behaviors are being encouraged to be repeated all the time. So in one sense, it is very simple. Things that we feel good about will be more likely to do again. Things that we don't feel good about will be less likely to do again. So those principles can apply to anything. So it doesn't really matter the age of your dog, the breed, anything of that nature. Of course, there will be some factors like puppies oftentimes have very short attention spans. So it can be hard for them to learn certain behaviors for now, like stay, for example. It's very hard for puppies because they're just too curious about the whole world. They don't want to sit still for too long. But, you know, as they grow up and mature, they can certainly learn much more effectively. So really, it's just the physical limitations are all you have holding your dog back from learning anything. So age is certainly not a factor. Breed, like I said, not a factor. Any dog can, for the most part, learn any behavior.
Thanks for sharing, Greg. I believe after hearing your stories, our audience are very interested in learning training with you right now. So, Greg, can you share some details of your group classes?
Yeah. So right now, as I mentioned, I've got the tricks and enrichment class, the recall class, and then aside from that, I also offer basic and advanced manners classes. So more specifically, things that we cover in the basic class, it's a 5-week course, and we start with some of the basics, of course. We'll do stay, coming when called, sit. We work on drop it, leave it, things of that nature. And then at the end of the class, we learn some tricks and fun things. But in addition to that, I always love to teach my students and clients about a more holistic approach to working with their dogs, learning to meet them halfway sometimes, teaching them about the benefits of enrichment and mental stimulation. I like my classes to be more than just a list of behaviors and cues that your dog can learn how to respond to. I like teaching my students how to live happily and effectively with their dogs and have a more fulfilling experience. The bonding aspect of training is huge, and I always like to emphasize that. That's sort of how my classes go. It's a lot of learning practical things, but also, it's all practical, I like to think, but learning specific behaviors and then also learning about your dog and how they think and why they act certain ways.
Wow, that's awesome. It seems very interesting. We will put the information of Greg's class below. You will definitely love his class. Thanks for joining us today, Greg. We hope to see you soon next time. Thanks for tuning in today's episode. Your thoughts and feedback are very important to us, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Whether it's a story you'd like to share, a topic you're curious about, or you're interested in joining us as a guest speaker, please email to info@sniffylabs.com. See you next time.